And the anointing is not, there's not some magical power. You know, you're not going to be like Superman and go into the phone booth and come out with a cape and be able to leap tall buildings with a single bound and be more powerful than a speeding locomotive or faster than a bullet. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. But it's just, you know, symbolic of the fact that you say, Lord, I want your anointing to rest upon me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part two of Living Under the Anointing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of Living Under the Anointing.
We're going to continue the message that we started last week. And that is living under the anointing, living under the anointing. Just wanted to go back and review the message from last week, so we'll move through the PowerPoint presentation pretty quick. If you go to that next slide. You know, we started out by talking in 1 John 2:20, you know, it says that you have an anointing. And that word anointing means to smear or rub with oil or ointment. And John was using it in the context to say that, you know, the people in his audience, that they had an anointing upon them, that they didn't have to be seduced by false teachers. And so that was the context that John was using it in. But we want to relate it to the sense that the Holy Spirit gives us insight and ability to do ministry and to live. So that's when we talk about the anointing. It's that ability to do ministry and to live this Christian life. We talked about a fruit check, right, last week. We said that when we talk about the anointing, that somebody should be able to come to you at any point in the day and ask you, are you laboring under the anointing? And one way that you can tell if you're laboring under the anointing is you have the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we know that the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5 brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, you know, just let me be honest. You know, I preached the message last week, and I said that, you know, we should have this fruit check. And anytime that somebody comes and asks us, you know, are we laboring under the anointing, under the Holy Spirit, that, you know, we should be able to say fruit of the Spirit, you know, fruit check, fruit of the Spirit, right? And so I'm going to be honest with you. I know that there was times this past week that I wasn't laboring under the anointing. So I'm just going to be honest with you that there was a couple times if you would have came up to Pastor Glaze and you would have asked him, was he laboring under the anointing, I would have to say not at this very moment, right? But, you know, the good thing is about the anointing, and we're going to look at this a little bit later on in the message, is that when you are not, there's the option, there's the possibility to get back under the anointing, all right? And so, you know, we can do that, all right? So we've been anointed basically for two things. We've been anointed for ministry, whatever ministry that God has called you to, and we've been anointed for living. Power to live the victorious life. That if you are not living the victorious life, then there's something wrong with the anointing in your life. All right. Then we said that even Jesus was anointed, right? We think his name is Jesus Christ, right? But that's not his name, right? His name was Jesus. And the word Christ, that was not his last name, right? Christ, that was a title. It would be like if you said John the mailman, right? Or Peter my mechanic, right? It was Jesus the Christ. And that word Christ, Christos in the Greek, it means anointed one. And so he was anointed, you know, for a specific task. And the anointment that was upon him was to preach the gospel, to bring salvation to those who are lost. All right. So we've been anointed for ministry and to bless others. You know, we read in Acts 10:38 that Jesus was anointed to help other people. And we see that in Isaiah 61. We looked at that last week, and we see that we have been anointed, especially to help others who are in pain, to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted, to bring healing to the wounded, okay? That we are anointed for that. So that was just one thing that we were anointed for, okay? And then when God appoints me, God anoints me. So whatever it is that God has appointed you to do, whatever it is that God has called you to do, that he anoints you for that task. All right, and I believe that's where we left off last week. So let's pick up from there. Oh, no, we did. We covered this. Believers have been anointed for living, and that is to strengthen the deal with people and circumstances, that God anoints you to be able to deal with people and to deal with the circumstances, sickness, death, you know, relationship issues, whatever the case might be, you are anointed by God to deal with that. You've been anointed to deal with the attacks of the enemy. We talked about Psalm 23:5. He anoints my head with oil, and we talked about the sheep and how that, you know, flies get in the sheep's face and get up in the sheep's nose and lay maggots up in the sheep's brain, and the sheep just go crazy and knock their head against a tree and eventually will end up killing themselves or scaring the rest of the herd. So what would the shepherd do? The shepherd would anoint his head with oil, and that kept him from the enemy coming in. And then we've been equipped to go beyond whatever it is God has called us to do, to go above and beyond. All right. And I believe this is where we left off. All right. So that's the introduction. So we're going to get into the message now. All right. And we should ask for a fresh anointing every day. Every day. After the service today, Sister Hale and I, you know, we're going to stand up here in the front, and we have anointing oil. And as we, you know, finish the message, and if you feel so led, you know, we know that everybody's not going to be led, but if you feel so led, that we want to anoint you with oil. And the anointing is not, there's not some magical power. You know, you're not going to be like Superman and go into the phone booth and come out with a cape and be able to leap tall buildings with a single bound and be more powerful than a speeding locomotive or faster than a bullet. You know, it's not going to be anything like that. But it's just, you know, symbolic of the fact that you say, Lord, I want your anointing to rest upon me. I want your power. I want your spirit to anoint, to rest upon me. And so, as I've said in the past, we can't get more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can get more of us. And that's the anointing. The anointing is that when we yield ourselves to God, when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we receive the filling, and the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to do the things that we need to do. How do you get more? How do you get more of the Holy Spirit? Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And Jesus is giving a lesson in prayer. And he gives us a parable before that. And as he concludes the parable that he gives us in Luke chapter 11, in verse 11, he says this, Luke chapter 11, in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked him a fish, will he give him for a fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He says that earthly fathers, when you ask for things, that the fathers don't give you the opposite evil thing, but the father gives you what is needed. And then he says, now, and notice, he could have said a lot of things, but notice the direction that he goes in. He says, then, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Amen. To them that ask. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Again, when we got saved, we got the Holy Spirit. And we got all the Holy Spirit that we were going to get. But if we pray and we ask for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, that means we have the anointing upon us. You know, the fact of the matter is that God does not anoint things. Now, I know some of you, the first place that you'll go is to the Old Testament, where he consecrated, you know, the vessels in the temple. And so consecration actually meant to be set aside, you know, for the Lord's use. So, but in and of themselves, those vessels had no power. In and of themselves, that if I got a cup down there, in and of itself, that cup has no power. It was just something that was separated, dedicated, and separated to God. Only people can be anointed, right? You can't anoint a machine. I mean, you can anoint it with oil so that it'll run better, but you can't anoint a machine with the Holy Spirit. You can't anoint a plan. You can pray for God's anointing on it, but you can't anoint a plan. The only thing that can be anointed is people. And that when God anoints you, that he anoints you and he equips you for the things that he would have you to do. There was a soldier that was in the army, and he had killed a bunch of the enemy with his sword. And the king said, "Oh, I must see the sword of this man who destroyed all the enemy." And so one of the king's assistants, you know, brought the sword to the king, and the king looked at the sword, and the king said, "Ah, this is but an ordinary sword. This is just a regular sword." And the assistant said, "But you should see the arm that wields the sword." You should see the arm that wields the sword. You know, and so we are just ordinary vessels. We are just ordinary people. That if you would look at us, you would not notice a difference from any other person walking down the street. But what makes the difference? The difference is made in the anointing. The power to be able to live victoriously, and the power to be able to do ministry and service for the Lord. Samson was an individual who labored under the anointing. Now let me give you a quick theological lesson, right? In the New Testament, when Christ died, he promised that the Holy Spirit would come, right? And the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. As a matter of fact, Paul said in the book of Romans, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that you are none of his. That if you don't have so if you're a Christian here today, you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to God. You are not a child of God if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that. That's what Paul said. So if you're here today and you say, "Well, I've accepted Christ," then you have the Holy Spirit. All right? And so the blessing in the New Testament, and you know, that's why we should be much more thankful than the people in the Old Testament, right? Right? I mean, we have a lot more than the people in the Old Testament had. And we, man, you know, so when it comes to serving God, oh man, oh my goodness. When it comes to serving God, and when it comes to giving to God, you know, it shouldn't be a lot of hem-hawing and lip babbling and backstepping. You know, man, we should be excited because God has given us so much more. And one of the things that he has given us is he has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us and it abides with us forever. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came and went. We read of people in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God came upon. And Samson was one of the individuals who the Spirit of God came upon. And when the Spirit of God came upon him, you know, you look at all the video games that the kids play today with all these superheroes, and you know, you look at mythology and all the superheroes that they had. But Samson was a real figure. You know, all the stuff that we see and all the stuff that we look at and all these games, these are just images. They're not real people, real things. But Samson was a real guy. And he was probably, I would say, now, you know, there may be somebody that would debate this with me, but I would say that he was probably the strongest man that ever lived. You know, the strongest man that ever walked across the face of the earth, right? And when did this strength come upon him? It came upon him whenever God had a special task for him to do. And so Samson was doing great things. But he ran into a problem. And as I heard one preacher say, he got a haircut in the devil's barbershop. And what happened is that he fell in love with a lady by the name of Delilah, right? And she was of the camp of the enemy. And so they wanted to find out where Samson got his strength from. And so he told them on several occasions that, you know, his strength lied in this, but he was not being truthful. He said, here's where my strength lies. And so these guys came in every time that he told her where his strength was, and then she went and told them, and they came in and tried to take him. But Samson would get up, and he would defeat them every time, right? Every time. And so she kept after him, and she kept pleading with him, and she kept begging, and she kept, you know, putting those eyes, you know, on him and giving him that look, and finally it just wore him down. And he told her where her strength was at, where her strength was at. Now, really, his strength was not in his hair, right? But his strength was symbolic. I mean, his hair was symbolic of his strength, all right? Because his strength was in the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon him, right? And so he told her where his strength, where the symbolic source of his strength was, and she tied him up, and the Philistines came in. And so let's pick it up in the text in verse, it's Judges, the book of Judges. I should have turned there, right? Book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Look at this. And he knew not the Lord was departed from him. He knew not the Lord was departed from him. Now again, keep in mind, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and left. He knew not that the Holy Spirit or that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of bronze, and he did grind at the prison house. So because he gave in to sin, and let me just give a side note here and say this, that when sin overtakes us, it does three things, right? It does three things. Sin blinds, sin grinds, and sin binds, right? Notice what happened. It said what? They put out his eyes, right? Which means they blinded him. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with feathers. That means they tied him up. It binds. And then what? And they made him to grind in the prison house, right? Sin will wear you out. Somebody said that sin is just like getting on the turnpike, right? It costs to get on, and the longer you ride, somebody tell me, the more you pay. The longer you ride, the more you pay. And so here was this man of God that labored under the anointing, and now all of a sudden, the anointing is not there. And so again, we can't lose the Holy Spirit, right? But we can lose the anointing. And Samson went out to do what he was trying to do at other times, but he lost the anointing. In that scripture that we opened up, 1 John 2:20, the word anointing is placed in there, but actually the word is unction, right? The word is unction. And I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, what is unction? What is unction? Just think about that for a minute. What is unction? And then somebody responded, I don't know what it is, but I know when it's not there. I don't know what it is, but I know when it's not there. And we can look at our lives and we can look at anointing and unction, and we might not know what it is. You know, we might not be able to give a theological definition of anointing. But I tell you what, you know when it's not there. You know when the anointing is not there. Samson said, I want to get up like at other times. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. How do you know that the anointing is not there? How do you know that the unction is not there? You know it if you're not living victoriously. If you are defeated by every little sin, if you are defeated by every little problem that comes up on your life, then you know that the anointing is not there. You know, I went to visit a couple of people on Friday who were in the hospital. And as I went to visit them, and we talked, and they were sharing with me how the Lord is helping them through their situation. That even though they're sick, even though they're in the hospital, that the Lord is helping them through their situation. And that they were trusting him. You know what that is? Let me tell you what that is. That's anointing. You need to be anointed for sickness, right? I was listening to the testimony that Brother Bobby gave this morning as he was sharing, right? And about him being in the hospital and him dealing with the sickness that he had. And what was the thing that he did? He thanked his wife. And I was thinking, you need an anointing, sister, right? You needed an anointing to be able to deal with that. So even caregivers, right? That there's a special anointing that rests upon people who give care, right? Whatever it is that you have to face, that you need the anointing to be able to deal with it. You know, I've shared with you my testimony. I was, you know, when I was dealing with an illness a couple years ago, and I would just put it like this. I was not a good patient. My wife was a wonderful nurse, but I was not a good patient. And, you know, there's just some things I got impatient with, and you know, and so, again, I'm just being real with you, right? There was certain times during the illness that the anointing left, and, you know, you got in the flesh because, you know, you're starting to be concerned. You're starting to get anxious. But even when you're dealing with sickness, that there's an anointing that's upon you to be able to deal with that. And if the anointing is not on you, it's like Samson. That I will rise and I'll go out like other times and I'm going to defeat the Philistines. But he did not know that the Lord was not with him. He didn't know that the Lord was not with him. If you're laboring in ministry, And you got a bad attitude, you're not being faithful, you're finding all kind of excuses to come up short, you know what that's an indication of? That's an indication of that the anointing is not upon you. Because if the anointing was upon you, you would be able to do the things that God has called you to do. What is unction? What is unction? I don't know, but I know when it's not there. I know when it's not there. There was a vacuum cleaner salesman. He was convinced that he had the best vacuum cleaner.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part two of Living Under the Anointing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part two of Living Under the Anointing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Living Under the Anointing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Living Under the Anointing. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.